Started the Otway Northwest London, Friday 26th November, 22nd of Kislev, Rabbi Don Kaufman, Yehuda and Tomor. This week's Torah has been sponsored by the Freilich family, Elulah Nishmas, Rabbi Shai Nossam Ben Rameh, Zachor Levrocha, Ivor Freilich on his 27th Yahrzeit.
Good morning, Rabbi Shai, and the Nehra Shabbos. The parsha of Yehuda Vatomo needs to be handled with great care. The behavior of Tomo to try and ensnare Yehuda must raise an eyebrow. What was this all about? And equally, the behavior of Yehuda to succumb to an invitation of a harlot at the road junction also raises an eyebrow, to say the least. However, as far as these questions are concerned, there are comments in Chazal which put the whole matter into perspective. So the Pasha starts off with the word Vahi Ba'esahi. It was at this time. What time are we talking? What is this time? So the Medrash comments, there's a lot of things going on at that time. First of all, Shvotim Asukim Mechirosa Shi Yosef. The Shvotim are thinking about one thing. They've got to get rid of Yosef. That's what is in the Pasha there. And Yosef had his own problems. He was now a prisoner, he was now a slave. He had his own issues to think about. And Reuven had issues, his issues to think about. And he was troubled about what he had done, and he was busy with tshuva. And Yaakov was sitting in Avelus. Everybody had their issues here. And with all this going on, the Medrash says, so Yehuda was busy in Shiduchim, as we call it. And one more thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisek boire oilesh HaMashiach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, never mind all the things you're doing. I know one thing. I need to bring Mashiach now. And that's what I'm concerned with. So this parsha is like no other parsha in the Torah. This is a parsha about Bias HaMashiach. The route through history, which can take no variation to the point of Bias HaMashiach, and the whole world recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world. So there's no scope for variation here. Furthermore, there's a medrash which says, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Kol Kalo Shitznua Bebeis Chomio, a young lady who behaves in an appropriate manner, in a modest manner, in the home of her father-in-law, Zoicha V'roya Menu Melochim, she will achieve that her descendants will be kings and Nevi'im. And Benolam, where do we know this from? From Tomor. Tomor's behavior was impeccable in the house of her father-in-law. And it's indeed she is the example which we learn to all others that impeccable behavior brings you kings and Nevi'im, referring to Moshiach. Because she was impeccable, she deserved to have Moshiach. She was destined to be the mother of Moshiach. Come what may, there's no variation to that.
Sorry, I'm not with it at the moment. Who was her father-in-law?
Yehuda.
Yehuda. Yehuda was her father-in-law. Yes.
Yes. Okay. and so on. I'll cut it short. And so on. There are various Amorim Chazal which say that Tamar was a most elevated and a high level spiritual person. She knew too. I am the mother of Moshiach to be. And I have to behave this way. There wasn't a choice. As far as Yehuda is concerned, how did he succumb to an invitation? That's what the Pasuk seems to say, but the Medrash says, it says otherwise. It says, Yehuda saw this woman sitting on the roadside, and said, Lo Yishkiach, he didn't take any notice of her. Kim Shenichnasah, Kim Shenichnasah, because she had covered her face. Omer of Yehuda, Bikesh Lavoy, he decided to walk straight past her, not to succumb to an invitation from the woman. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach. Shubamuna ala tava. There's a malach who controls people's desires. And Omaloi, the malach came and said to him, Yehuda, excuse me, how can you do this? How can you leave this woman on the roadside? Where do you think you're going? Mehecha malachim omdim. Where will kings come from? Where will gedolim come from? Where will Mashiach come from? You've got to go back there to that woman. Vayetaleo el hadorach. And he turned to the road. This means, vayetaleo el hadorach. Bal Kolchoi. He had no choice. Now, this is a remarkable statement. Whereas the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva discusses at great length that people have choice in everything, whatever the person does, absolutely everything from the biggest to the smallest, there's no variation to that. Every person has choice in what he does. And hence the Rambam says, any person who does something wrong must do tshuva because he can't say it was destined, this will happen. There's no two ways about it. This is the way it must be. That the person has a choice. There is two exceptions we know of the Torah. This is one of them, where there was no choice. Yehuda didn't have a choice. The reason being that this was Melech Mashiach. So whereas we make choices all day long, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu has a certain destination to reach in history, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is quite capable of steering around all our choices. So if the motorway is closed, there's always a diversion route you go off, and maybe longer, but you get to the same place in the end. Not Mashiach. When we're talking about the path of Mashiach, there can be no variation. This path has to go straight. There can't be variations to it. And so on this one occasion in history, Bechira was taken away. You would have had no choice. Now, these Amor Chazal do put the path into perspective. The problem is that there's still another one or two major questions on the path. A simple question is conciliation. So the story is, Tom was promised by Yehuda after the death of the older two sons of Eilon, you can have my third younger son, but he's too young, so wait a bit. Fine. But that wasn't forthcoming. And so she resorted to the tactics that she did. But excuse me, there's a basic question here. Anybody in such a situation would go and try conciliation. She would go to Yehuda and say, excuse me, you made me a promise. Keep it. If he doesn't keep it, maybe you resort to such tactics. At least ask. And there's nothing in the Parsha which says they should ever try that. What makes the Parsha very, very strange. Another strange thing about this Parsha is that she wanted a union with the family of Yehuda. That's why she wanted Shelah. And she was promised it as well. So when she didn't get it, why didn't she try and ensnare Shelah? Why ensnare Yehuda? Now these two questions are a major gap in the Parsha. And there really isn't any Mamor Chazal or even a Foloshim who discuss this. Shelah was the youngest son of Yehuda, the third and youngest son of Yehuda.
Right.
And I'd like to devote the Shia to explain the reason why Chazal don't comment on it. The reason is because the answer to these major questions is in the words of the Pasuk, if you look very carefully. But we have to study a drosh of Chazal, which appears in various places in Shas, and then come back to the parsha to understand what is going on here. The first one is a Gemara in Zvachim, and the Gemara is dealing with a posuk in Parshas Tzav, the very beginning of Parshas Tzav. It says, "Tzav as aharim es bon of leimor." Zois Torah Soy. These are the rules of Korban Oilo. He Oilo al Moikado Anam Esbeach Kol Alaylo. It's a very hard word to translate. And Rashi tells us that there are two topics within these words. The first one, and the basic one, is telling you that you can do the burning of the Emurim, the parts of the Korban Oilo, any time in the night. Throughout the night, as long as it's done during the night, as long as it's brought into the Mizbeach overnight, even if it burns on longer. But it must be brought to the Mizbeach during the night, not later. It can't be left in the morning. That's one positive. Mota ala Mizbeach kol ha-layla. Must burn on the Mizbeach all night. And there is a second topic in this pasuk as well, which isn't obvious at all. If lalavid al-psulim, certain korbanos, even if they are posel, and they should not have gone on to the Mizbeach, but once they're there, you can't take them off. Now, what is this about? This is a Mishnah in Zevachim. HaMizbeach Mekadish Yisro Oloi. The Mizbeach is Mekadish and becomes the owner, so writes to it, once if it goes on to Mizbeach, if it's befitted for the Mizbeach. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara Mishnah, in the Gemara Hosugya, about which parts included, is dam included, is the menachos included? Well, that's not the main point here for now. But it says that Mishnah, kol horoy le'ishim, anything that is befitting of the fire of the Mizbeach, Olo, if it went out onto this berg, lo yeirit. Never, must not be taken down again. Even if it shouldn't be there, if it's there, you can't take it out. Shenemar, he who oila al moikto al amizbeach. Mishnah quotes the pasuk. The pasuk I've just read out. Rashi explains, where does the Mishnah see this? That's not what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is talking about that you must burn the korban oila through the night. Where does it come from, this new rule that whatever goes on can't come off the mizbeach ever again? Where is it written? So Rashi says, because of the word he ho'oilo, the fact that he ho'oilo, the word he, is spelled hey vov aleph. And hey vov aleph means b'havayosa to hey, it shall be, so it shall stay. Now, what do we mean by this? So let me explain. The word he can be spelled hey yud aleph and hey vov aleph. And these two are completely different things. Hey yud aleph is a pronoun. I, you, he, she is hey yud aleph. But hey vov aleph is a verb. But it's a verb, an abstract verb of being. I am, you are, he is, and she is, and it is. That's hey vov aleph. Now the posuk should have said, he ho'il al mizbeach, it, the oil burns on the mizbeach, hey yud aleph, the pronoun. But it doesn't, it says hey vov aleph. Because of that variation, so we understand there's a certain being, a status, a status quo life, if you like. And that is the source of the Mishnah learning in Yudin, which is not written, well, it is written in the Pasuk, it's written by the variation of the spelling, it is written in the Pasuk, that it shall stay, that's the way it has to be. It must be that way, stay that way. That's a Gemara. Now, this variation of the two spellings must be explained a little more. When the word hey vov aleph, which means is, it almost invariably comes after the noun or the verb, whatever it's concerning. For example, v'chi, I'll put the one examples for you. Tomeor he in Pasha Shemini, hey vav aleph.
Is etzba elokim he? Is that an etzba?
Hey vav aleph. Yeah. It is the finger of God and so on, and it always comes afterwards. Yes, I can give you some more examples, please. Whereas the word hey yud aleph always comes before the word, before the verb. So, for example, there's a classic example in Parshas Vayera, in the Parsha of Avimelech, when Avimelech complained about not being told that Sarah is the wife of Avraham. So he says, and she said, the he omra. Front of the verb is hey yudalef. She said hey yudalef. Achoisi he is hey vav aleph. That's the way it works.
There are only 11 he's in the whole Torah.
Hey yudalef are very few.
Are all of them? Do they all fit the rule?
I'm going to give you some exceptions.
Here
are those. Okay. That's how we learn the drosha. Because it should have said he hey yud aleph ha oila, he ha oila. This is the oila, this is the oila, this is the one. And it says hey wavarov. That tells you that there's a status because of the change. And so here's some examples. In Pashas Vayera, Halo Mitzor he. This town is Mitzor. Hey vav aleph, of course. Hin ach in hine ishtachol he. Hey, this it is your wife. Hey vav aleph. Ki lo yada ki chalo soy he. Hey vav aleph, etc. And in our pasha, ayah hakadesha, he voy nine. Where's this halot sitting on the road? Hey vav aleph. All these are hey vav aleph. And most places I've heard it says hey vav aleph. There's a limited number of which say hey yud aleph. So ra'as, he. Zolos cholot udvash, he. The land is zolos cholot udvash, he. All these are hey yud aleph. Ashaloi tohoiro he, and so on. There was an interesting question on this, that if in the feminine there are two words, hey Rav Aleph and hey Yud Aleph, one pronoun and one as a verb, why is in Loshon Zohar there only one? It's the word who applies to both. So this question is addressed by Rabbeinu Bachtiai in Parshas Mishpatim. He comes in there and he says, since the existence of a woman is from a man originally, as a Parsha explains in Bereshis, so he says, Mekim Ishu Kochal Zois, Metziyasu Isha is a Totsor from Metziyasu Ish. Therefore, in the feminine, we have to spell the existence, the word is, hey Rav Aleph, the same spelling as a masculine hey Rav Aleph who. That's his answer. Now, there are sugyas in Shas which are based on this drosha. Primarily, it is a Gemara in Soto. Now, the Parsha of Soto says that a woman who is seen to go into confinement with a man she didn't want not to go to, that makes her a Soto. She's Tommy. That's it. Done. She's Tommy. Meaning she can no longer have to be associated with her husband unless she goes through the process. And if she's from a family of Kohenim, she can't be Trum anymore. She's done. And the Gemara says we learn this from the words of the Pasuk. Because it says in the Pasuk, Menelame in Isha, she's disappeared, hidden from her husband, Venistero, Vehinit Mo'o, Va'ova Allah Ruach Kino, Ruach in Bikinis Ishtar, and he has warned her, Vehinit Mo'o. But he is written Hey Rav Aleph. It shouldn't be. He needs more. It should be a pronoun in front of the verb. She's become Tommy.
Yeah.
But it's written Hey Rav Aleph. From there, the Gemara derives that the moment she's gone into confinement, be it we don't know, there's no aiding, what happened behind the closed doors, she's out. She's Tommy. Because there's a certain being. The being, she's now being Tommy. He needs more. And based on that, the Gemara darshans the whole sugya of Sufik Tommy, Meshusan Yochid, is Tommy, the Gemara says, which is a principle that runs right through Mishnah's Taharas all the way through Sofik Tommy, Tommy. Sofik Tommy, Tommy. That's that big Gemara based on this drosha that has a Vahinit Mo. She is Tommy. Not she has become Tommy, she is. Hey Rav Aleph. Now, there's one more Gemara we need to study and then come back to our Parsha. In Parsha's Emor, the Parsha of Koyanim, there are the rules. A kohen eats truma. He still can't. But a kohen eats truma. His son, of course, is a kohen, eats truma. His wife can eat truma. She may be from a family of Yisraelim, which is married, she eats truma. Their daughter eats truma. She's a bas kohen. She eats truma. Should it be that this kohen passes away and leaves a widow and an orphan daughter, they may both eat truma. Why? The wife is no longer married, but there's a daughter. There's a daughter who's entitled to eat truma. And on account of that, yes, the wife can eat truma. That's the parashah in Emor. And I read the posuk, Vaskos kisiel ishzor. He assumes that kodoshim loisei. But when the daughter goes up and marries, Vaskoyen, she doesn't eat truma. If she marries out to the family, so she does not eat truma. Now, the Gemara and the Toz Kohenim ask a question. What would be in the following case? The Kohen has died, but his daughter eats truma. And accordingly, so does his wife in the merit of the daughter. And if the daughter grows up and marries out to a Yisrael, she does not eat truma. Now, what happens to the wife? Can she eat truma or not? That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara says, yes, she can eat truma. How do you know? Because it says in the Pasuk, of us going, he see on the are, he, Hevov Aleph, is, there is a certain situation of a bas kohen in existence who she can't eat truma because she's married out, but there's an existence, a being of a bas kohen, and therefore the wife continues to eat truma, the widow. Now let's take note what it says here again. Uvas kohen, he see on the Ishizar, and when his daughter, this kohen, that bas kohen grows up and marries out, the Ishizar, he, she can't eat, but her mother can. It says, Hey Rav Aleph. And the Nagina is Tilishu Gadoilo. It's Zokir Godo. He is Masa Kodoshim Loisei Cheo. She can't, but she gives rights to someone else, to the certain being. Now let's come back to Parshas Vayeshev. So the story is that a promise was made to Tamar, you can have my son Shelo when he grows up. It didn't happen. Vayirbu Hayomim, but she grew up, the promise wasn't kept. It says in the Pasuk, yes. So she resorted to the tactics of Atosa, Bidan Musa. She took off her garments of the Almona. She disguised herself. She sat Adela Kinosa on the roadside. Why? Hirosa, because she saw he got our Shelo. Shelo had grown up. So it was time to fulfill the promise. Vihira Nikolosh had not been given to him, as she had been promised. She had been denied what was her rights. Denied. So she resorted to the tactics. It's not quite like that. It's not like that. The Or HaChaim makes this point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already wiped off the scene the older two sons, Er Ve'Olam, because they were unfitting to be the father of Mashiach. And we talk about Mashiach here. Tamar knew I'm the mother of Mashiach, from the family of Yehuda it must be. She tried Oinon, no, they're unsuitable, they're gone. Now comes Shelo. Shelo was a lovely little boy at the time. And she was promised you can have him when he grows up. This promise wasn't kept. So she resorted to the tactics, it had to be. There was no variation, this has to be. Hold on a minute, not so, not necessarily. She saw, let's translate it differently. She perceived, hey, this boy's grown up. Now I know what he is. A little boy, he was harmless. But he's an adult now. We know what he is. And she saw and she perceived, he too, the third one, is not fit to be in the Melech HaMashiach, this boy. V'hi loy, nitno loy, is spelled hey, vav, aluf. And the Nagina is, the doctor had gone, v'hi, no nitno loy, le'isho. She is not given to be for Shelo. That's what it means. She understood, no, we can't have this. And the answer to the question is, why didn't she try for Shelo? He wasn't on this game. She couldn't try Shelo, he wasn't fit for the job. And why did she then resort to these tactics? Because she wasn't given to be for Shelo, so there was no choice. There had to be a relationship between Tamar and Yehuda. There had to be. No variations, even Bechir would be taken away from Yehuda. This had to be, absolutely. So she did what she did. Because she wasn't given to be for Shelo, she knew it had to be Yehuda. And Yehuda and Tamar were a good shidduch. How do we know? It's written in the Pasuk. It's in the Neginas. It's quite well known. There are four sets of matching Neginas here. The first one is when Vayetele Adorach, Vayomer, and he said, Hovoli, Hovo Eliach, Vayomer, Pashto. And he answered, Hovo no Eliach. And he answers back, Vatomer, same Negino, Matitemi. The next Pasuk, Vayomer, he answers, he says, Onohi Ashalek and the Izim. She answers back, Vatomer, same Negino. The third Pasuk, Vayomer, Bohoir, Bohoin. And he answers back, Vatomer. And the fourth one is, again, matching. And when you get matching the Guinness, it's a shidduch. I've got evidence for that. Evidence.
The match.
The good shidduch, that's what it means. How do I know? Because in Parshas Chayisoro, at the end of the story, when Eliezer comes back with Rivka in tow, the shidduch is made at that point. And what does it say there?
Son, yes.
Same Neginas. It's a good shidduch. But one more thing. There is another he in this parasha of Tamar as well. A last one more to finish off. At the end of the parasha, it says that she conceived, and when it was realized that she's pregnant now, Yehuda said, "Take her away." Take her away. And it says, "He would say, Heivov Aleph." Say Heivov Aleph. He would say. Now Rashi says one word there. He would say, "Lisreifor." That Rashi is very difficult. It says in the pasuk, take it out and burn her. He would say, take it out. She was being taken out. To be burnt. What else? That's what has Rashi know to be burnt. What does Rashi mean? There's a Gemara which says in three various places, the Gemara says this. We learn from here, allow yourself to be burnt and not be mavayish somebody. Where's the Gemara know it from? Well, from a storyline. Because she would have been taken away and burned had she not revealed by hint that it's the man who owns this stick with whom I'm pregnant. That's the storyline. But Tosis says that's not the pshat. Tosis says because it says he. Tosis says because he mutseis. Mutseis means burnt. It's an expression of burning if you take out the aleph and you read it without the aleph. So Tosis says he mutseis. She was burnt, meaning, says Tosus, that she was so near to the furnace, to which way she was going, she was already singeing from the fire. She was already burning. He would say she is already burning. And nevertheless, she wouldn't speak. From there we learn, says Tosus, that allow yourself to be burnt and don't embarrass somebody. So we've answered the question of why Tamar was and Yehuda behaved the way they did. All based on the Hey Vav Aleph and Hey Yud Aleph variation. And Drosha's Chazal about how to behave and not embarrass somebody is also in this parasha based on Hey Vav Aleph, Hey Yud Aleph.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Despite everything you've said, when you commenced, you said this parasha was difficult to understand.
Yes.
Since I was a child, have always been full of problems and never been able to fathom out this whole matter.
Yes.
Whatever the good intentions, as we know, of Yehuda and Tamar.
Yes.
What was a woman like Tamar, of her cheshivas and her yichud?
And she was baskoi. She was a daughter of shame.
What was she doing, plying her wares, standing as a prostitute on the pavement, waiting to earn a living from men?
All right, and the answer
what is... What was Yehuda doing in order to achieve the great object going to a prostitute?
Right, so
why would it not have been done another way? Right, and if you were going to a prostitute, why on earth his daughter-in-law? The whole thing baffles me completely.
Let me try and answer you.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about the path to Mashiach. And in that path, there are no variations. You can make a decision, I will go this way, or I will go that way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will achieve what he wants to achieve by steering events around your decisions. You have power of decision in everything you do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still more powerful and can steer around any decisions that you and I make or everybody else. But when it comes to Melech Mashiach, then there's no variation. This had to be come what may. Had to be. And there had to be, this had to be. Yitomah had behaved so impeccably that she and she only was fit to be the mother of Mashiach.
Why did the Eibishter have to make it that a man like Yehuda should go to a woman like Tamar in that
way? Because...
Why did it have to be...
Okay, may
I say the word despicable?
Yes,
can I make a suggestion? What about the other side of Mashiach comes from Lot and his daughters?
Daughters, yes. So and from Rus. And from Rus. And all the Mefarshim ask this question to say for Rus, and they say that there has to be a certain element of tinge of indecency so that not to attract the Satan too much. But this was ordained and had to be without variation. That's the point.
But I don't understand why. Thank you.
Hello, Miss Gadda.